Chodesh Yutzat, we have a bright that says Ben Chodesh Ben Yoshan Yutzat. And the Gemara said that that is talking about the situation that that's a machok lokasha harebi ha rabbanan. Namely, that over there we're talking about a situation where we're dealing with a tanur chadash that was boleya the heat of the atzei orla, and now you want to cook in this tanur chadash that was boleya the orla using atzei heter. And we have a question: do we have a din of zevize goreim, which is going to be oser? So Gemara says, Lo kashya harebi v'harabanan. Namely, we have a second machos between Rebbe and Rabbanan as to whether zevize goreim is mutar, that's Rabbanan shita, or osir, that's Rebbe shita. And then the Gemara says, no, maybe that's not Rebbe. Who says Rebbe holds zevize goreim is osir? Maybe that's Rav Eliezer. But in any case, Rabbanan, we see, holds two principles. A, Rabbanan hold ein shvach eitzim bepas, and B, Rabbanan hold that zevize goreim is mutar. Those are the two principles that Rabbanan hold. Over here, when our Gemara says that we want to ask a question, what do Rabbanan hold in the situation of Tanur Sheisiku Ba'atzei Hekdesh Va'afa Ba'esapas? Which Rabbanan are we talking about? The Rabbanan of Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas, or the Rabbanan of Zevize Goreim being Mutar? That's the topic that's dealt with over here in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says, he begins, L'Rabbanon D'Sharu B'Kamai Samai, Pirish Rashi, Rabbanon D'Sharu, D'Kasavri, Ein Shvach Eitzim B'Pas. We're talking about that first Rabbanon. The Rabbanon hold that Ein Shvach Eitzim B'Pas. What do they say about the world of Hekdesh? Wouldn't there be a difference if the Shevach is coming from Hekdesh or the Shevach is coming from Orla and Kilei HaKeren? Well, in order to understand the question, we just have to go back to what is the Shita of Rabbanan? Why do Rabbanan say Ein Shvach Eitzim B'Pas? What's the machlokas between Rabbanan and Rebbe? And if you recall, we had a very, very basic machlokas Rishonim, how to understand Rabbanan. So our sugya has to be understood within that machlokas Rishonim. So we pointed out that Rashi, Tosfos, the Ran, other Rishonim as well, they held that Rebbe Shita was that when you burn Orla and Kilei HaKerem, the heat which is coming out is coming from the Eitzim. The Eitzim that are Aser, they're producing the heat. The heat is Aser Bahana'a, and therefore the pot, which is created with that heat, is also going to be Aser Bahana'a. Masha'en Kain, according to Rabbanan, they say no. When you're burning the Atzei Orla and the Kilei HaKerem, the heat which is coming out is not coming out from the Eitzim that are Aser Bahana'a. It's coming out from the Efer, which is created by the destruction of the Eitzim, that when the Eitzim are burning, they are the bonds that hold together the molecules are being opened up, and we're creating Efer and heat, and it's as though the heat is coming from the Efer. And if the heat is coming from the Efer, and we're talking about the world of Nisrafim, then that Efer is Mutzer. Namely, everyone agrees the heat is coming from the fuel. The question is it coming from a fuel which is Aser, that's the Shita of Rebbe, or is it coming from fuel which is Mutter, that's the Shita of Rabbanan. That's the Machlokas according to Rashi and Tosfos and the Ran. However, we saw that the Riva and the Baal Hamor, they understood, and Rabbeinu David, they understood differently. They say, no, that Rebbe says over here, what we have is a unique situation in the world of heating, that the fuel is being cloned into the bread, that the bread is going to get the status of the fuel. It's as though we have over here a world of blia. It's as though the bread is absorbing the eitzim. If those eitzim are aser b'hanah, the bread will be aser b'hanah. If those eitzim are aser b'achila, the bread will be aser b'achila. Whatever that we have over here, a transformation of the eitzim into the bread. That's the concept of yesh shvach eitzim b'pat, that the eitzim are in the pot. Ma'ashen Kein Rabbanan say, what are you talking about? That we have over here a pot, we have over here bread which is being created via a number of factors. The Eitzim are one of those factors. And within all the factors, the Eitzim are batel. There's nothing left of the Eitzim. It's simply a gram. And so we have another of gormim. We have a gorim of the tanur. We have a gorim of the eitzim. We have a gorim of the nachton putting it in. And that's not enough to create an isur. There's no such halacha that the eitzim turn into the pot. So now we have two pictures of Rabbanan. Now let's take those two pictures of Rabbanan and plug them into our sugya. In other words, if we learn like the first way of learning Rabbanan, like Rashi and Tosfos, so the question over here was, what if we are heating the tanur with atzei hekdesh, and we are baking the bread according to Rabbanan, who were matir by Orla and Kilei HaKerem, what would they say over here? So the answer is, well, over here by hekdesh, not only are the eitzim aser, but we're going to see later on in the Gemara, even the efer is aser. That's one of the unique functions of hekdesh. Efer hekdesh lolam aser. So Rabbanan who hold that the heat is not coming from the eitz, it's coming from the efer, that's aser. So the Gemara's answer, Rav Chista's answer, hapas asura, those two words are fine, right? The pas is aser. And that's fine. In other words, that answer is wonderful, because Rabbanan over here would say, our shita is that the heat always comes from the Afer. If the Afer is going to be mutter, fine. So the pas will be mutter. If the Afer is going to be aser, the pas is going to be aser. So the answer is fine. The answer of Rav Chista is fine. If we learn like the Baal Hamor, namely that the Rabbanan disagree that we don't say that the Eitzim are in the pot. So then the question was, well, maybe that's by Orla and Kilei HaKerem. Maybe Hektesh is more Chamur. And then the answer is, HaPas Asura, really Hektesh is more Chamur. Really in Hektesh we're going to take things further, and we're going to say not only that which is Nivla in the pot is going to be Yasser, even that which is Nigram by the hekdesh is going to be yosur. Namely, the answer of Rav Chista fits in according to both approaches. The problem is the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara then asks, "Uma bein zola orla?" What's the rationale of Rav Chista? Amar Rava, "Hachi hashta, orla betela b'masayim, hekdesh afilu be'elef lo batel." That we find that hekdesh is more chamor than orla, and therefore hapas asura. This answer is beautiful according to the Baal Hamor. According to the Baal Hamor, that Rabbanan said that when you're dealing with Orla, we say that the heat of the Orla is only a gorim. So the heat of an Orla is only a gorim, the pas is going to be mutter. However, in Hektesh is much more chamor than Orla. Hektesh is something that even if there is one in a million, that Hektesh we're going to take into account, it's not going to be batel. So you could say the Orla, the heat coming out of the Orla, that's going to be batel, but the heat coming out of the Hektesh, wow, that's going to be yasser. However, if you're going like Rashi and Tosfos, here we really have a problem. Here, the reason the pas is aser is because the efer is aser, not because of some sort of a chumra in the world of hektesh, but because the efer of hektesh is aser. Namely, it's nothing to do with whether it's batel b'matayim or not batel at all. That's the question over here of the Tosfos Reino Peretz on Rashi. Tema, maika medame hektesh la'orla. Orla shiny de laachar kilui muteris. V'im kain sha'as kiluyeha nami chashvei le'rabbanan kilaachar kiluyeha. The whole sheet of Rabbanan is that the efer of Orla is muter, and we view the process of burning as the heat coming from the efer. V'ha, however, in hektesh laachar kiluyeha nami yasser. In other words, that exactly is the issue in hektesh, that the efer is also yasser. That's the reason why it's yasser. Not what Rava is saying over here. And we had it. You know, if you learn the Gemara according to the Baal Hamor, so the question makes sense, and the answer makes sense, and the explanation of Rava makes sense. But if you learn the Gemara according to the way Rashi understood the Gemara, Rashi and Tosfos and the Ran, then the answer of Rav Chista can make sense, but not for the reason of Rava, for a totally different reason. Hapas Asura, because the Efer is also not Hapas Asura, because Hektesh is more chamor than Orla, that it's saying no batel fil be'elef. That's where that's the question that we have over here of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. And so what Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz does is he moves the entire question to a different plane. We pointed out that Rabbanan said two things. A, they said ein shvach eitzim bepas, and B, they said zev zegorim is muter. That's what over here the question is being asked on. Boy minei rami bar chama mirav chista. What if we have a situation of zev zegorim? We have a tanur chadash that was created with atzei hekdesh. And now we're going to bake bread in this tanur, and we're going to heat the tanur with eitzim that are mutar. What's going to be the status of the pas? Are we going to say that zevizegorem is going to be mutar, like we said by orla, or are we going to say that zevizegorem is going to be asr? That's the question over here, and on that the Gemara answers that there's a difference between orla and hektesh. Orla is batal b'masayim, hektesh is not batal at all. This, as the Avdim Yilum pointed out, this fits beautifully, beautifully with the Ran that we saw. We saw the Ran in Avodah Zarah. Why do we say that Zeviz Zegorim is Mutar? Zeviz Zegorim is Mutar because we have Bitul. Bitul, namely, that the only time that we have a concept that a Gorim is going to transfer its Koach is if it's unique, if it stands on its own, if it's independent. If there's another Gorim with it, it's going to be Batel. It's not going to be able to transfer its status. Mashenken over here, Hektesh is Eino Batel. The whole concept of Bitul doesn't apply to Hektesh. In the world of Orla, where we have a din of Bitul, we say Zeviz Zegorim is Mutar. In the world of Hektesh, where we have no din of Bitul, and even if we take Bitul in a figurative sense, namely that we say that when does a Gorim have a power of transferring status only when it's on its own? Mashenken when it's with something else, but Hektesh is never Batel. Hektesh is always Kilu, it's on its own. Hektesh is always standing there. It never loses its identity. If Hektesh never loses its identity, that's why over here, Rav Chista paskind that hapas asur. That's what the Tosfos Beno Peretz offers. Okay, nira hacha mayri betanur chadosh, hisikuhu ba'atzei Hektesh. Hashta nigmar huwa yedei iser, kami boya lekisha chazru viziku, beitim deheter, afu basafasi, sharu alo, hashta have a zevizegorem. And the question is, do we compare the zevizegorem of Orla to the zevizegorem of Hektesh? And the answer is no. In the zevizegorem of Orla, we have bitul. That's zevizegorem being mutter. Mashain kain, in the world of Hektesh, we don't have bitul. Therefore, zevizegorem is also. So the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz offers us two approaches to learning the sugya. If we learn the sugya according to the question of the Rabbanan of Yeshvach of Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas, then we get hit in the face with Ravo's distinction. If, however, we learn the Rabbanan not of Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas, but the Rabbanan of Zeviz Zegorim being Mutar, then the distinction that Rava makes is beautiful. What you saw, hopefully, in the back of the Gemara is that the Maharshal didn't have in front of him the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. And Mamish, he was mechaving to the question of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, and was mechaving to the answer of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, namely that the Maharshal me'atzmo understood that if we're going to learn the Gemara over here on the level of Ein Shvach Eitzim Bepas, we can understand the words Hapas Asura. We're never going to be able to understand the words of Rava. So we had to move it to the other track. That's what the Maharshal pointed out. And it's a question of zevizegorem. Where Rabbanan were matir previously, what are they going to say over here? Very, very beautiful. Our problem is Rashi. Look at Rashi. We have over here one line of Rashi. Rashi says b'teila b'masayim, the last wide line of Rashi. Orlo is b'teila b'masayim. Hilkoch lo chamira mishekola v'nivar isuro. That since Arla is batal b'masayim, therefore when it turns to Afer, it's not going to be chamur. The continuity would be Mashein Kain, Hektesh, which is more chamur, which is Eino batal afilu be'elef, there we're going to be machmir on its Afer. What do you mean we're going to be machmir on its Afer? The Afer of Hektesh is Osir. It's not a chumra over here. It's not a question of this is lo chamira and this is chamira. Namely, that which the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz asked on Rashi is a very powerful question. Rashi over here really learned that the issue between Orla and Hektesh is one of a chumra. And Rashi over here doesn't say anything at all about this newfangled approach that Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz offers. Namely, how did Rashi learn the Gemara? How did Rashi learn the Gemara? How did Rashi get in? How did he understand Rava's bringing in the fact that we have over here a Chumrah? The Chumrah makes sense according to the Baal HaMor. The Chumra doesn't make sense according to Rashi. According to Rashi, it's Meikar Hadin. Meikar Hadin. The Efer is Asur Bahana. The Efer is Asur Bahana. Efer Hekdesh La'olam Asur. So here the Maharsha comes to the rescue, that he saw the Maharshal, and he felt that the Maharshal, you know, is simply not shot in the sugya. So he says in the last three lines of the Maharsha, v'nira ba'ikar kushas Maharshal the hashtakati lo asik adaita yachta ma'isim ibraisa. Later on, namely over here, the Gemara had not yet been made aware of the Gemara of the Braisa at the end of Tzmura that Efer Hekdesh is lo'olam asur. That Rava over here was answering not Aliba de Hilchasa, in Achinami, Aliba de Hilchasa, the reason Apas is Asura is because the Efer is Asur. Over here, the Gemara was unaware of this fact and therefore came up with the fact that maybe the Efer of Hekdesh is more Chamor than the Efer of Orla, nothing beyond that. It's very Dachuk, but I don't have anything that much better to understand Rashi. Rashi, in other words, the Kasha that both Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and the Maharshal ask on Rashi is a very, very powerful kasha. That l'chora, the ha'ikar chasim in ha'sefer, the ikar is found 10 lines later. So the answer that the Maharshal offers is that the Gemara is an ongoing work of art, and sometimes the Gemara will say something and then later on will come up with a better hezber. Don't know. Okay. I don't know where to move. Within what Rashi says, but in terms of the Shita of Rashi, if you hold of the Shita of Rashi, that's the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz can explain by moving the whole Gemara over to the track of Zeva Zegorim as opposed to the track of Ein Shvach Etzim B'Pas. That I think would be fine. Okay. Yes.
Couldn't Rashi be saying? I mean, you still say it's going to cause a mistake, but couldn't Rashi be saying the answer that it is? Why is it so common that it isn't Gemara?
Maybe.
That's why even if it's never, it's still Asur. He seems to be saying that.
They shouldn't use the word lo chamira mishekala v'nivar isuro, because the nature of the Efer has nothing to do with the world of Beetle. The nature of the Efer has to do as to whether we're dealing over here with that which was min hanisrafim and naseis mitzvaso, or we're dealing with min hanikvarim and lo naseis mitzvaso. And that's the difference over here between in terms of the world of Efer. It's not a question as to whether it's batel b'matayim or it's batel b'elef. That's not the reason why the Efer is also. Namely, it's not just. So the moment that Rashi says that b'tele masayim hilkach lo chamira mishekala v'nivar isura, it appears to be a question of chumra and kula. Chumra and kula, that's fine and good within the world of the Baal Hamor. It's fine and good according to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. We're looking in the world of Zeva Zegorim, but l'chore, it would be very difficult to fit that in terms of the Efer. It's possible, but it's very, again, the l'chore, the diuk in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, how did he know what Rashi held? I don't know if he had a different gears than Rashi, but he understood from this Rashi that we're dealing over here with questions of Kula and Chumra, and that's not Shayach. That's his question. That's the tema. What is this? In other words, that we're dealing in a different realm altogether. Tosfos over here has a very, very powerful question as well. We have a lot of temas over here. We had a tema of the Talmid of Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Here we have a tema of Tosfos. Hekdesh afilu be'elef lo batel. Tema. Ma chomer hizo. Again, pshat in the Gemara is you're dealing over here with a chumra. Be it according to the Baal Hamor, be it according to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, we're dealing over here with a chumra. What's the chumra of afilu be'elef lo batel? Hallo hektesh davar sheish lo matirin hu ayadei chilul umitam ze ein dino liyos batel afilu biyisur kala afilu bidrabanan kedamrinan bereish beitza. Okay, let's just take a step back and understand this principle over here of a davar sheish lo matirin lo batel. That there's a famous machlokas over here between Rashi over there in Beitza and other places as well and the Ran in the Darim as to why there's a principle of davar sheish lo matirin is not batel. Davar sheish lo matirin is something like mukta. Mukta, which in other words is, let's say you have an apple that falls off of a tree on Shabbos. That apple is mukta. If that apple fell off of the tree, and you have under the tree 10 apples, 9 of them fell erev Shabbos and are mutter, and you have the one apple that fell on Shabbos and it's aser, we say you can't eat from the apples. It's min b'mino, and it's you know, it's yavesh b'yavesh, should be batel b'rov, should be able to take an apple and eat it. You should be able to even take all 10 apples and eat them. So we say no, because mukta is a davar sheish lematirim, it's eno batel afilu be'elef. Why? What is this? This is hocus pocus. Because mukta is going to be mutter motzei Shabbos, therefore there's no din of bitul. So Rashi says, yeah, that because the whole din of bitul barov is not a svara. There's no svara that if I have two against one and I pick up one of them, that's going to be from the two and not from the one. That's not a svara. But when I have a suffix and I don't know what to do, the Torah tells us achra bun lahatos. We have what's called a hachra. It's not a birur. It's not a proof that this is what always was, that this piece was always mutter, that I happen to be machaving to the right piece. But I have the right to be machriya al pidin. The Torah tells us whenever I have a suffix, I have the right to be machriya, that even though there's no svar over here, it's exeris akosuv, I could say achra bun lahatos. But if I don't need the hachra, if I can just wait 8 hours and then it's all going to be mutter, I shouldn't use the hachros of the Torah unnecessarily. You know, I shouldn't use the. It's a very, very powerful weapon, acharei lahatos. I shouldn't use it unless I need it. Unless my back is against the wall. I have no alternative. I have a suffix. I don't know what is the halacha. Then I'll say acharei lahatos. But if by waiting 10 hours, everything is going to be mistaber, everything is going to work itself out. So the Torah tells us, wait 10 hours. That's the principle of davar sheyesh lo matirin eino batel, namely that because we're dealing over here with a temporary iser, why use a powerful weapon to override a temporary iser? Wait a little bit, the iser will dissipate, it'll disappear in thin air, and then I won't have a problem. I shouldn't use a hachra if I don't need to. If we were dealing with a birur, if we were dealing with simply these are the facts of the case. So if I have two Adam who can tell me these are the mutter apples, these are the aser apples, certainly I should use that. You know, I don't have to wait if I have Adam, if I have a birur. But if I don't have a birur, I simply have a chra, then according to Rashi, I should wait. The Ran understands, however, this principle of Dorash Hesh Lematirim in a totally different manner. That he says as follows. He says, we have a pasuk in the parsha of the Korbanos that brought on Yom Kippur, that the Kohen was stirring the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoir, and that's what he's going to bring that mixture into the Kodesh Kodashim to sprinkle in front of the Aron. He's going to sprinkle from the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Soir. So the question is, a Par has a lot of blood. A Soir has much less blood. So why over here does the Torah speak about Dam HaPar and Dam HaSoir? The Dam HaSoir should be Batel in the Dam HaPar. So Rav Yehuda's Medayik from this Pasuk, min b'mino is never batel. The whole concept of bitul is only when you have a contrast. When you have a contrast, when you have min b'sheino mino, then we could say that we have a majority and a minority, and the minority loses its identity. When there's no contrast, when the two things are exactly the same in terms of their nature, then there's no din of bitul. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. We don't paskin that way. So what do we do with the pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a pasuk. Dam ha-par v'dam ha-sar. You see, the min b'mino is not batel. So Rabbanan say, no, that pasuk tells us that heter beheter is not batel, that you need a contrast. The contrast doesn't have to be in terms of the nature, the contrast could be in terms of the halakha. If you have a majority which is mutter and a minority which is aser, then we have a din of bitul. But if we have heter beheter, dam hapar and dam hasahir are both heter, then there's no din of bitul. Namely, Rabbanan agree with Rav Yehuda, you need a contrast. The question is, do you need a physical contrast, or is it enough to have a halachic contrast? But the principle is that heter beheter is not batel. So come along, Chazal, and tell us, davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel. Because davar sheyesh lo matirin is only temporarily aser. It's going to be heter in a few hours. And therefore, every davar sheyesh lo matirin is conceptually heter beheter. We don't have over here a contrast. We only have over here an optical illusion. It appears to be a contrast because currently it's usur. But in reality, it's only a temporary isur. A temporary isur, conceptually, is mutter. And so it's heter beheter. Heter beheter is not batel. So the two reasons behind davar sheyesh lo matirim not being batel are either that we have over here a hachra'a of rov, and we don't use a hachra'a if the situation is going to clarify itself in a little while, or it's because we view this halachically as being heter veheter al shem ha'atid, and therefore it's not batel. The common denominator between Rashi and the Ran is that why is davar sheyesh lo matirim not batel? Because it's heter. Namely, that it's only a temporary iser. It's only a temporary iser. So the reason that hekdesh is not batel is because it's an iser kal. It's temporary. That's the reason it's not batel. So over here, we're looking for how hekdesh is more chomer than arla. Hekdesh isn't more chomer than arla. Hekdesh is more kal than arla. Arla, forever and ever, is going to remain arla. Arla is never going to be batel. You can't be poda arla. But masha enkein, hekdesh, it's like muktza. Muktza is going to become mutar in time. Hekdesh is going to become mutar because it's omed liptia. It was meant to be nifter. We're dealing over here with kedushas domim. We're dealing over here with atzei hekdesh. Atzei hekdesh weren't meant to remain in some lumber yard as atzei hekdesh. Their hekdesh is liquid assets. They were meant to be sold, and that the money would be used for hekdesh. But the moment they're sold, then the eitzim become mutar. And so hekdesh is a temporary iser. It's a temporary status. A temporary status, that's a kula. That's not a chumra. We happen to have a halacha, which is based on the temporary status, which is a chumra. But the temporary status by itself, by its nature, is a kula. It's not a reason. In other words, we're saying that hekdesh is only a temporary iser. That's Tosfos's tema. That if you're building on the world of chumra, we need over here a chumra, then we have a problem. Then if we were dealing over here we're saying that hekdesh in the Gemara says is more chomer than arla, therefore the pas is asa. Tosfos is asking the fact that hekdesh is batel the elef, say no batel the elef, that's not a chumra. It stems from the nature of hekdesh, which is really a kula, is this tema like a knockout, or would this be dependent upon how we understand the sugya? Would this depend upon how we understand the sugya?
According to Balmor, it's not a question.
I'm not sure. I think that according to Rashi and according to the Balmor, it's still a question, because according to both of them, we're saying that that we have over here a chumra in the atzei hekdesh. And therefore, because of that chumra, we're going to say that yesh vachetzim bepat. But according to whom is it not a question? According to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. According to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, we're dealing with the world of zevezegorem. Zevezegorem, we say, applies any time that there's going to be the world of beetle. We're going to say zevezegorem is going to be usher. Over here, the ikar is that hektish is not batel. Who cares why hektish is not batel? If the moment hektish is not batel, we can't say zevezegorem is mutter. Namely, that if we're dealing with yesh vachetzim bepat, our question is, to what degree are we going to be concerned about the heat coming out of the eitzim? Then we could say that if the source of the heat is an iser chamur, we're going to be more concerned. If the source of the heat is an iser kal, we're going to be less concerned. That's in terms of yesh vachetzim bepat. But if our question is whether the source of the heat is going to be batel or not, that's the concept of zevezegorem, my nafkamina, why it's going to be batel. The ikar is that there's a din of bitul by orla, there's no din of bitul by hekdesh. Hekdesh doesn't lose its identity as long as it's hekdesh. It doesn't lose its identity. So within Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, we have over here a direction. Again, Tosfos over here asked the question because he's learning the Gemara like Rashi. We have a din of kula and chumra. Within kula and chumra, in other words, hekdesh is really not chomor. Hekdesh is really kal. Ma she'en kein, if we're dealing within the world of zevezegorem, there the question is it nitan lebitul or eno nitan lebitul? Does it lose its identity or doesn't it lose its identity? Okay, so we have a way of learning the Gemara according to the zevezegorem. Namely, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz is glatt. The beginning of the Gemara works out, the end of the Gemara works out, everything works out. But what do we do according to Rashi and the Baal HaMor? We need a chumra. Where do we have over here a chumra in the world of hekdesh? So here I sent you to another explanation. Maybe the reason hekdesh afilu be'elef lebatel is not because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim. Maybe there's another reason. What could that reason be? What other reason could there be for hekdesh not being batel as opposed to davar sheyesh lo matirim? Hekdesh is a davar sheyesh lo matirim, it's not batel. But maybe there's another reason why hekdesh isn't batel. That's the Meiri. The Meiri points out over here that we always have to view Hekdesh from two perspectives. We have to view Hekdesh from the perspective of Iser Veheter, and we have to view Hekdesh from the perspective of Mamonos. It's Mamon Hekdesh. Hekdesh is also a corporation, of Hekdesh. And Hekdesh owns property. And so over here, the question is, why is Hekdesh Afilu Be'elof Bo Batel? Tosus explains why the Iser of Hekdesh is Afilu Be'elof Bo Batel. Because the Iser of Hekdesh is a Dover Sheish Lo Matirin, and Tosus points out that that's a Kula, that's not a Chumrah. It happens to have a temporary Chumrah, but the temporary Chumrah is because really Hekdesh is more Kal. That's another level of Iser. But forget about Iser. We have an issue of Mamonos. And here, the Me'iri is based on a Sugya in Beitza that I sent you to, that Tosos says black and white, that over there the Gemara deals with the world of Iser Tchumen. We have a principle that you're not allowed to carry something 2,000 amos from its source. What does it mean from its source? From the place of Ragli HaBa'alim, from where the owners live. What if we have an object which is owned by two owners? So you can't take it more than 2,000 amos. That's going to be 2,000 amos that's going to be a common denominator between the two owners. Namely, if for one owner we could take it further and the other owner less because he lives farther away, we can only take it in the area that both owners, it's within their Tchum Shabbos. So the example given by the Gemara is if you have one owner who is the owner of the ingredients of the dough and the water, and the other one is the owner of the salt, and the dough was made with the bread was baked with the salt and the dough. You can only take this bread to the point where the two owners can walk. So the Gemara asks, why don't we say bitul? Why don't we say that the owner of the salt that's batel in the bread? So the Gemara laughs at that mando amar and says, what are you talking about? Are you going to say that if we have 10 Sfarim, and 9 of them belong to party A, and 1 of them belongs to party B, that Sefer is Batel, and that all the Sfarim now belongs to party A? In the world of Mamonos, we can't speak about Bitel. Nachon, the world of Tchum is the world of Iser, but it's Iser based on ownership. And when you're dealing with Iser, which is based on ownership, ownership is not Batel. There's no din of Bitel Barob. When, you know, it's the language of Tosfos is... So over here, this is the reason that we say Hekdesh Afilu Be'elef Lo Batel. Hekdesh is owned by the corporation of Hekdesh. There's a din of Mamonos in Hekdesh. That's not going to be Batel. Maybe the Iser could be Batel, but the world of Mamonos is not going to be Batel. Over here we have Halacha that the neither are Batel. The Iser is not Batel because of Dovrei Sheish Lo Matirim. And the Mamonos is not Batel because Mamonos is not Batel. There's no din of Bitul in the world of Mamonos. So the Miri points out that when our Gemara over here says Hekdesh Afilu Be'elef Lo Batel, it relates to the Mamonos aspect, and that's why we have a Chumrah. That we're pointing out that in the world of Iser Veheter, there's a world of Bitul. That's Orla. In the world of Mamonos, there's no Bitul. That's why the Hekdesh is more Chamor. No, why didn't Tosus learn that way? What, he didn't know the Tosus in Beitza? He didn't know the Sugya in Beitza? It's a black and white Sugya. Why was the Me'iri so quick on his feet, and he picked it up, and he said, it's a din of Mamonos, and Tosus over here gets this Tema, and leaves it as a Tema. What over here is the issue that would be the point of departure of the Me'iri and Tosus? Why would the Me'iri say, we have over here an Inyan of Mamonos? Once we have an Inyan of Mamonos, that's why it's not Basel. And Tosus ignores that totally and speaks on the level of Iser and gets involved with Dovrei Sheish Lo Matirim and points out that's really a Kula and da 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 da. What's the, you know, sharper. What's the whole problem of being Nehene from Atzei Hekdesh? What do we call that in the Torah when someone is Nehene from Atzei Hekdesh? Me'ila. No, now you tell me. What over here is the issue between the Me'iri and Tosfos? No, Pinchas.
The Me'iri holds it in Zela.
What is the principle of the Iser of Me'ila? Why is Me'ila Aser? What are you doing which is wrong? Is it that we have over here an Iser of Hanoa from Hekdesh? We're dealing in the world of Yoredeya. We're dealing over here with a Gezel from Hekdesh. It's the world of Choshen Mishpat. That's the machokas we saw between the Or Sameach and Reb Chaim. It's not a Machlokes Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim. It's a Machlokes Tosfos in the Meiri. That's exactly what over here each of them is coming to. Tosfos ignored the Mammon because he says, no, the din of Me'ilah is not a din of Gezel. Gezel is when you steal from your fellow man. In the world of Me'ilah, this is like being Nehenef from Orla, Kiliyah Kerem. It's being Nehenef from Chametz on Pesach. This is the world of Orech Chaim and Yoredeya. This is not the world of Choshen Mishpat. Here we have a basic Machlokes. If you recall, Reb Chaim, he assumed like the Me'iri, and therefore he pointed out the whole shear of Me'ilah is Shavapruta. Not Kazayas, because the Shavaprut is a shear of Gezel. And Reb Chaim points out that you can be Mitzarev, Mi'ilos, a quarter of a Pruta, and another quarter of a Pruta, and another quarter of a Pruta. This is today and this tomorrow. In the world of Hanoah, we're not Mitzarev. In the world of Hanoah, you need an Achil Kedei Achilas Pras. These are different, in other words, that Reb Chaim viewed everything within the context of the world of Gezel. That's the Me'iri. It's the world of Mamonos, Mamon Hektish. Ma she'ein kein tosis over here is assuming we're dealing in the world of Isuri Hana. He says, look, the Gemara is comparing Me'ila to Orla. You know, it's Orla is din of Isuri Hana. This is din of Isuri Hana. According to me, we know that's what Rava is saying. Why over here is a pasasura? Because it's not a din of Isuri Hana. Isuri Hana has a din of Beetle. Over here, there's no din of Beetle. It's Mammon. There's no din of Beetle. Namely, that each of them are coming from a different perspective. We have such a machlokas in the Achronim. There's no problem at all to say it's machlokas within the Rishonim. And we pointed out that you could say that we have two tracks of Me'ilah. That's not the end of the world. And we pointed out maybe there's a difference between Kachay Mizbeach and Kachay Beda Kavayas. And there, da, da, da. In other words, there's a whole lumdus to say that there are two tracks. So the Nesivas are the two tracks. But, in other words, it's also possible to say that we have one track with two side tracks or two subtracks, etc. And the question is, where are we starting off from? So over here we have very, very beautifully a Me'iri and a Tosfos. Each of them are coming from a different perspective. Tosfos, from his perspective, has a Tema. We point out that could be according if you learn like the Tosfos Reino Peretz, that Tema falls off. We don't care as to why Hektish is not bought on the level of Iser. The Iker is there's no din of Beetle. Hektish never loses its identity, and therefore Zev is Zegorim is Oser. However, within Rashi and the Baal Hamor, who are looking for Chumras, there the Me'iri's direction would be smoother. That the Gemara is pointing out that Hekdesh is din of Mamanos, there's no din of Bitul, and therefore Hu Adin, in terms of the world of Yeshvach Eitzim Bepas, we'd be more Machmir. There's a reason to be more Machmir. Okay, I think that's a possibility. Then the Gemara moves on to Elo Amarava. Elo Amarava, I Kashele Hakasha. Hallo, Ma'al Hamasik. We're pointing out that we're dealing over here with an Easter of Me'ilah. We're burning Atze Hektesh. That's Me'ilah. Call it Gezel, call it being Nehene, one or the other, whatever you want to call it. The principle is, Kol Hecha de Ma'al Hamasik Nafkulei Le Chulin, that there is a that there is a result. I don't know what to call it, a result or a cause, but in order to that side by side with the world of Me'ilah comes a factor or comes a conclusion that this object is no longer Hekdesh. The moment that you are a Moel, the Hekdesh disappears. Rashi quotes a Mishnah in Me'ilah on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, Ein Moel Achar Moel B'mukdashim. There's no din. In other words, the moment that you're moel, it's yotzei lechulin. And if it's yotzei lechulin, so who cares about the heat? The heat is chulin. Amar Rav Papa, hacha ba'atzei shlamim askinan va'aliba derav Yehuda. That we have to find a case where there is not going to be the parsha of Me'ilah. You're going to have a situation where you're going to have an Easter to be nene from Hekdesh, but there's not going to be Me'ilah. Where do we find that? We find that in Atzei Shlamim. Atzei Shlamim, we're talking about Eitzim. We were Eitzim that were given for a particular purpose. In the world, when you give a directed donation?
Earmark, designated.
Okay. In other words, to Hekdesh. It was given for the purpose of buying Korban Shlamim. Korban Shlamim is Kod Sheikalin. Kod Sheikalin, the parsha of Karen Chomesh and Asham, doesn't apply to, because the parsha deals with Kod Shei Hashem, Ola, that which goes totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the Atzei Shlamim that are eaten by the Bailim. And according to Rav Yehuda, Damar Hektesh B'Shogi Mischal, Mezid Ein Mischalel, the Mezid Maitaima Lo, L'chora, Choshib Yakal V'Chomer, if in Shogi something goes to Chulin, in Mezid should also go to Chulin, Elakev Andalav Bar Me'ilah Hu Lo Nafik L'Chulin. For some reason, there's a connection between the Parsha of Me'ilah, Keren Chonosh Nosham, and the Yitzia L'Chulin. So Shlamim Name, Kev Andalav Bar Me'ilah Ninhu, clearly, I sent you to the Mishnah Lamelech in on the Rambam. There's the Isra Da'oraisa to be Nehneh from Shlamim, but the Parsha of Me'ilah, of Keren Chomash and Osh, doesn't apply, so therefore, Lanafka Lechulin, and that's why we have the issue. But is that really correct? Because Hecha Demal Hamasik Nafke Lechulin, that when there is Me'ilah, everything goes Lechulin, we have a Braisa, calling this Rafam Eifaran Mutar, Chutz Me Atzei Asherah Ve'Efer Hektesh. Le'olam Asur, why should it be Le'olam Asur? There was Me'ilah, someone burnt the Hekdesh. If there was Me'ilah and the Hekdesh was burnt, so then it should go to Chulin. Amar Barchama, we give an Ukimta. G'gon Shenafla Dreka Me'ilah. There was no Me'ilah. Or we're dealing with another Ukimta, Osan Shitunim Gniza. Those situations that the Efer was burnt Beheter, like on the Mizbeach, like Trumas Hadeshen, those are the cases where the Efer is also where there was no Me'ilah. But had there been Me'ilah, in Achinami, everything would go to Chulin. That's the Shakra Vitaria of the Gemara. Question is, what in the world is this halacha that kol hamasik nafgalei lechulin? What is the connection over here between the world of Me'ilah and going lechulin? Why is the Gemara so certain about it? And we also have to understand what is the limitation of Rav Yehuda in terms of Shogeg and Mezid. But let's start with Rashi. Halo kol ma'al hamasik. Sorry, halo ma'al hamasik. The first thin line of Rashi, v'chayav korban meila, namely that when we have the parsha of meila, when you have korban, keren chomesh, and asham, when you have this parsha, then we say that it goes l'chulin. V'kol davar. She'ein bo kedushas haguf, kegon behema she'ena shel hekdesh, or kli she'eno kli shares, kevan she'ma'aba yatsa lechulin. The tnan ein hamoel achar hamoel b'mekdashim, ela behema ukli shares bilvad. Avol kol midei achrine mi meila rishona nafka lechulin de kaimalon ein meila b'chol makom ela shinui shenishtanemik dushaso. And therefore, over here, the Eitzim, they are the things that are not Behema or Klishares. And we paskin that Ein Me'ila Achar Me'ila. So, Amai HaPas Asura, HaKodem Shenasnu HaPas, Haya HaHesek Chulin. So, by burning the wood, that's you're dealing with Me'ila, Ein Moel Achar Moel, the heat coming out of the wood is already heat coming out of Chulin, and it should be Mutter. Rashi points out that the Mishnah over there in Me'ilah distinguishes between two categories. There's Behema and Klishares, where we say Yesh Moel Achar Moel, and then there is everything else that we say Ein Moel Achar Moel. What's the distinction over here, according to Rashi, between these two categories? What is the uniqueness of Behema and Klishares that we say over there that Yesh Me'ilah Achar Me'ilah, and everything else that we say Ein Me'ilah Achar Me'ilah? And what does this have to do with what Rashi quotes, the concept of Me'ilah, Ein Me'ilah B'chol Mokom Ela Shinui Shenishtana Mikdushaso? Why is that Shinui Shenishtana Mikdushaso apply to all objects aside from Behema V'Klisharis? Why are they exceptions to the rule? So of course, if the person, we're talking about a person who was Nehneh from writing, in other words, we're saying over here, according to, well, okay, what's the distinction according to Rashi? Excuse me?
Kedusha Saguf.
So Rashi says over here, uses the language Kedusha Saguf. In Me'ilah, Rashi expands a little bit. I'll just read you the Rashi in Me'ilah. Ein moel acher moel b'mekdashim, ela behema dekotche mizbeach, uklishare spilvad. That's a quote from the Mishnah. Hane rav redome kayeme, velo b'nei if gume ninhu. Da'afilu rochav al gabe behema v'hikhisha otalas misimra adayin ru'uya hila korban. Lo pesala b'kachla mizbeach. The Bein Shmeina Bein Kachusha Chazir HaKrava. The Ein Taras Pegima. Hilkoch Hakate B'Kdushasa Kayima. Hilkoch Yesh B'Moel Achar Moel. V'chein Shasa Echad B'Koshel Zahav. Afilu Ifkasu U'Pegamo. Kevan De Kedushas HaGufi. V'lo Kedushas Domim. D'Rav L'Pediya Kayima. Adayin Koy L'Sherut. V'yesh Moel Achar Moel. What over here, in other words, what Reuven pointed out is differences between Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Domim. That in Kedushas HaGuf, we say that Yesh Moel Achar Moel.
That's in, I can use the word inherent.
And in Kedushas Domim, here we say that it's Yotza L'Chuba. That the moment that you're Moel once, the first person who's Moel Yotza L'Chuban, and then Ain Moel Achar Moel. There's no more room for Me'ilah because it's already Chuban the second time around. The examples over here of Kedusha Saguf are a Behemas, a Korban Behema, and a Klisharis. Examples over here of Kedushas Domim, that's just to make it parallel, would be a donkey, a chamor, and a kli tashmish. In other words, that these were given to the Beis Hamikdash. Someone gave Hekdesh a donkey. It's Kedushas Domim. Or they gave Hekdesh a chair. That's a kli tashmish. So why, if over here someone rides on the donkey, do we say that donkey is Yotza L'Chulin and Ein Me'ilah Achar Me'ilah? Well, if someone were to ride on a korban, then we would say that Yesh Me'ilah Achar Me'ilah. That korban is still Hekdesh. What's the difference between these two situations? Yes, Yoni? So each of these have a different form of Kedusha. The Kedusha Saguf is for what purpose? It has a goal, in other words, of being a, in other words, the Sharet Bakodesh. Over here, the Kedusha Domim, its purpose is Pediyah. Its purpose is, it's Kodesh for its Shovi, for its value. The whole concept of here is its value. The moment that you ride on a chamor, the moment you use a klei tashmish, what you have done is you've lowered its value. The moment that you do that to the degree of a sheva pruta, this chamor is now, in the eyes of, in Israel, they have this book that tells you every car, how long it's on the road, and it keeps, there's a depreciation. The moment there's a depreciation of a sheva pruta by the chamor or by the klei tashmish, you've ruined its shovi. You have taken it down. It's now worth less. That in that level of me'ilah, that's yosa l'chulin. Why? Because what is me'ilah? Right? What does Rashi say is me'ilah? How does he define me'ilah? Rashi says, "Ein me'ilah b'chol makom ela shinui shenishtana mikdushaso." You took its kedusha and you were pogeya in its kedusha. You were pogeya in its kedusha. This had a kedusha. This was worth $1,100, and now it's worth $1,099. You were pogeya in its kedusha. Once you were pogeya in its kedusha, then it's yotze lechulin. Masha Einkein, when you ride on the behema, can it still serve as a korban? Let's say you ride on it and it goes down from 150 pounds to 100 pounds, right? Are serious? Can you still use a korban?
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, namely in terms of its kedusha. The Kedusha Saguf that was meant to be Mesharit Bakodesh, who cares that it went down in value? It's something that exists. As long as it exists, it can still be brought as a korban. Hu Hadin, a klishares, even if it's depreciated, it could still be used as a klishares. Then with the Kedusha over here is a Kedusha of use. The Kedusha over here is a Kedusha of value. So when we're dealing with the Kedusha of value, there you have a shinui. That's me'ilah. That's Yotza L'chulin. Mashenken over here, there's no shinoi, meaningful shinoi. Namely, you're still there's no pagam in the kedusha. There's certainly a pagam in the value, but the value is not the kedusha. It's irrelevant if a person brings to the Beis Hamikdash a korban of 100 pounds or 150 pounds. it could be, you know, it's irrelevant if the cup is worth $90 or it's worth $70. It's still a cup. It's still a klisharis. So over here, we have a pegiya in the kedusha. Here we have no pegiya in the kedusha. That's the way Rashi learned the Mishnah. And therefore, in the Eitzim, when you burn Eitzim, right? Eitzim are kedushas damim. When you burn the Eitzim, you're taking their value of Eitzim and turning it into Eitzim. It goes from $100 down to 50 cents. So that is Ein Mo, in other words, there it's Yotza L'chulin. This is the category of Yotza L'chulin, because there's a pegam in terms of its value, the Eitzim. So what did the Gemara answer? No, we're dealing with Eitzim that were set aside to build the Korban Shlamim, and therefore we're moving it over to the, you know, it's to a different world altogether. But on the level of Kedushas Danim, we would have a Yitzia L'chulin. Who learned the Mishnah differently than Rashi? The Rambam, excellent. I'll read you the Rambam. Haperek bo filchos mi'ilo halacha dalet. Ein moel acher moel b'mukadoshim, ela b'behema uklitashmish bilvad. I'll give you some of the examples of the Rambam. Rochav al gabe achamor, v'nehene, v'bochaveiro v'rochav aleha v'nehene upagam, kulam ma'avu. Or another example, shasa bekos shel zahav v'nehene pruta, b'chavero v'shasa v'nehene u'b'chavero v'shasa v'nehene kulam ma'avu. The Rambam says that in these situations of chamor and klei tashmish, the halacha is that there's no yitzia l'chulin. Those two cases. In other words, what Rashi says is Yotzei Lechulin after the first person wrote on the Chamor, or after the first person depreciated the cup, that's Yitzia Lechulin. And Rashi says, no, black and white, those cases is no Yitzia Lechulin. Those cases go over here to this side. Right? Where do we have a Yitzia Lechulin according to the Rambam? So he says, if not al kos v'notnu l'chavero matano o macharo, hu ma'al v'chavero o ma'al. If he took the chamor and gave it as a matana to his friend, hu ma'al v'chavero lo ma'al. What did the Rambam do to the Mishnah? What over here is the difference according to the Rambam? According to this. The Mishnah says that generally, ein moel achar moel, except in the case of behema and klisharit, right? That we have everything but, in other words, we have hakol, except for behema and klisharit. That over here we say, ein moel achar moel, and here we say yesh moel achar moel. Rashi understood that this is kedushas haguf, and this is kedushas damim. That's what Rashi learned. Here we have a pegiya, and here we don't have a pegiya. What does the Rambam say? What's the difference between these two categories in the Mishnah? It depends what kind of me'ila you are doing. What is the action that you are doing? And namely, we're dealing over here in both cases with the, in other words, well, according to the Rambam says that the word shares over here is irrelevant. Behema and Kalim. That if we're dealing with a situation of Me'ilas Hotza'ah, if you are taking them out of the realm of Hekdesh, then we say Ein Mo'el Achar Mo'el. If we're dealing with Me'ilas Hana'ah, then we say that Yesh Mo'el Achar Mo'el. Namely, that according to the Rambam, we're talking over here, all that, even, you know, it's in terms of Kadshei Beda Kabayis. It depends what we're doing with the object. We're dealing with, it's both parts of the Mishnah. When it says Behema, it can mean a Chamor. If it says Kalim, it can mean any sort of a Klei Tashmish. The question is, what are you doing with it? Again, Ein Moel Achamol B'Mekudoshim Ela B'Behema U'Klei Tashmish Bilvad Ketzad. Shasa bekoshel zahav nehene bepruto ubachaver veshasa nehene ubachaver veshasa nehene kula ma'alu. Notal hakos v'nasnu l'chaveiro, then lo ma'al. Rochav al gavei chamor v'nehene upagam, bochaveiro v'rochav al gavei nehene upagam, bochaveiro v'nehene upagam, kula ma'alu. Notal hakamor l'chaveiro, matana o macharo izkiro, hu ma'al v'chaveiro lo ma'al. Where did the Rambam see this in the Mishnah? The answer is he didn't see it in the Mishnah. He saw it in the Tosefta. And the Tosefta is quoted over there by Tosfos, over there in Me'ilah. Tema, Tanya b'Tosefta, baka kardom shel hektesh, uba chaveru bakabo, uba chaveru bakabo, kulam ma'alu. And we're dealing over there with a kardom which is not a klisharis. Because it says in the Sefer, Nosno Chaveru, 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 Harishon Ma'al Hasheni Lo Ma'al, that when we're dealing with an axe, if you take an axe of Hekdesh and you give it to someone else, you're Moel and that's it. And then we say, Ein Moel Char Moel. But if you use the axe and someone else uses the axe and someone else uses the axe, we're not dealing with Me'ilas Hotzah, we're dealing with Me'ilas Hanah, then it's Mutar. What the Rambam did was he learned the Mishnah in light of the Tosefta. It says behema and kelim, it means if we are using them. However, if we're going to give them to someone else, then no. Namely, he's learning the Mishnah in the light of the Tosefta. This is what the Ravid points out. The Ravid says that the Tosefta knocked the Rambam off of his rocker. Ein moel achamam avram, b'chol ze yotza mechal mishna senu. In other words, you're dealing with a Mishnah that deals with kelim and behema. The Rambam starts off quoting the Mishnah, Ein moel achamol b'kod shemele b'behema kli tashmish bilvad, and then you move over to achar tosefta, ki ein the Mishnah seinu ela b'hema kli sharis. Our Mishnah is not talking about a donkey and a calf. Our Mishnah is talking about a b'hema tzmima, shedum yed kli sharis. V'hu mipnei, and so why did the Rambam switch everything around? Mata b'tosefta, baka b'kardom. So the Ravid says, take your tosefta, and toss it away. We have a Mishnah. When you have a Mishnah, you're not going to take a Tosefta and override the Mishnah. Ain't sochen al Tosefta, she soterat a Mishnah v'agumara. Namely, this is the Mishnah. What Rashi says is the Mishnah. Here, what the Rambam is doing is he's building on a Tosefta, distinguishing between Me'ilas Hanoah and Me'ilas Totsoah. Let's just stop here at a moment before we see, you know, what else can be done with that Tosefta. What over here is Rashi, L'chora, telling us about the nature of Me'ilah? Why do we say that when we're dealing with a certain type of Me'ilah, it's going to be go to Chulin, and other types of Me'ilah, they're not going to go to Chulin? What is the nature of the din of Me'ilah that's going to be motzi it to chulin? What are you doing what aspect of what you're doing is going to say this object is now going to be chulin? You are being pogame. You are doing a shinui in what? According to Rashi, in what aspect of the of the object? Where are you hitting the object? And why am I allowed to ride on a behemoth korban, paradoxically, not allowed to? In other words, I'm over an Isra Me'ilah, however, this behemoth still remains a korban. Masha'enken, if I'm taking chamor of hekdesh and I ride on it, then this is going to be yotze l'chulin. What causes something to be yotze l'chulin? That I am being pogame in what? I am being pogame in its kedusha. I am being pogame in what that we have over here, a concept of chilul hakodesh. I am being pogeya in the kodesh, even though this has a higher level of kedusha. But I wasn't pogeya in the kodesh. I didn't do anything to the kedusha. This is still lending itself towards its destiny. In other words, I haven't changed if the Kedusha is, in terms of its destiny, I haven't changed the destiny over here. The destiny remains the same. Mash Enkin, according to Rashi, if I am going to to be pogeya in the destiny. Now the pedia is not going to be on the same level. It doesn't have the same value. I was machalo the kodesh. You know, in other words, that I can be that paradoxically I am machalo. I am more affecting kedushas damim by usage than affecting kedushas haguf by usage, and therefore the yitzia lechulin is a result of the chilul hakodesh. In the language of Rashi by us, ein meira b'chol makom ela shinui shenishtana mikdushaso. I have been pogeya in the kedusha, and I have taken that kedusha, and I've been pogeya in it. Mashein ken kedushas haguf, the lavra p'tiya kaima hakoy l'sheirut. I die in koy l'sheirut. The kedusha still remains on the same plane. I haven't hidden to the kedusha. However, according to the Rambam, we're not. In other words, what's the difference between mi'ilas hotza'a, where we say that this is yotzei l'chulin, as opposed to mi'ilas hana'a, that this still remains kadosh? In both of them, I was pogeya in the kedusha. In both of them, this animal is now worth less. It's worth less. In other words, pumfaker. Over here, it's worth. In other words, here I wrote on the behemoth. It's worth less. Here, I didn't write on the behemoth. I gave it as a gift to someone. I didn't lessen its value. I gave it as a gift to someone. So when I give the animal as a gift to someone, then it goes to chulin. If I am pogeya in its value, it remains hekdesh. This is not Rashi, right? Rashi says the moment I'm pogeya in its value, then already it's yotzei l'chulin. Here we have a case where I'm pogeya in its value. The same story of Rashi. I'm riding on the donkey. According to Rashi, it goes l'chulin. Over here we say no. Yesh molach armoel. Since all I did was ride on it, all I did was lower its value, it remains kadosh. So what over here is me'ila according to the Rambam?
Changing the bilus.
Namely,
it's always hekdesh, even though it's still hekdesh in Kedushas Damim, it just has a lesser value, but it never left out of the Bible, never left hekdesh.
And therefore, so what? So now, don't tell me what it's not. Tell me what it is. So what is the Iser of Meila? Which we would define in if you were to write this piece, so what you call that? Gezel. Okay, thank you. We call that gezel, right? That when you change something from reshut to reshut, you are stealing it. You are there is a shinui mirashus lirashus. This is the same Gemara that Rashi is quoting. Ein mi'ila b'kol makom ela shinui shenishtaneh. But the shinui shenishtaneh is not a shinui of going down in value. It's not a pegam in the kedusha. What is the shinui shenishtaneh? What is the shinui shenishtaneh? What's the halacha when you steal something? To whom does it belong? That when you steal something, then it loses its original ownership and it now belongs to someone else. That's the shinui. You have a kinyan shinui. Now we have over here, it's yotzei l'chulin because there is a shinui in ownership. The shinui in ownership, the gezel, that's motzi l'chulin. As long as it remains hektish, as long as it doesn't, even if the value goes down, that's not the me'ilu which is going to be motzi l'chulin. That over here, this is the Rambam, this is the track of Gezo. Right? If you're only nehene, so then that remains Kodesh. If you're stealing it, it works. That's a great act of stealing. When you steal something, it now belongs to someone else. Then it's Yotzei L'chulin. Yotzei L'chulin is the moment that you did a Maisa Gezo, the moment that there was a Kinyan, the moment that there was a Hotzah, then we have over here an issue. We have over here a problem. So over here we have the machlokas. In other words, we have machlokas. What is motzi l'chulin? Is the motzi l'chulin the chilul of the kodesh? And then it depends. In kedushas haguf, there's no chilul hakodesh. The kodesh remains on the same level, even if it's worth less. But who cares? It's worth less. We're not dealing in terms of value. We're dealing in terms of its destiny. Kedushas haguf is for the purpose of being brought as a korban. The klisha reisa could be used for whatever purpose, to catch the blood, to throw the blood, etc. You haven't changed its yud. There's no chiluk of the kodesh, but if kedusha is done it paradoxically, which you would view as a lower level of kedusha, but by your using it, that's a chiluk hakodesh. The chiluk hakodesh is motzi l'chulin. Here there's no yitzil chulin. Here there is yitzil chulin. The Rambam says no. even if you use it, even if it goes down in value. Becholzot, it's not yotze lechul because it remains hekdesh. You haven't changed its status of being kadosh, even if it's worth less. It's not enough of a reason to be motzi lechulin. But if you go ahead and you do a maisa, you're motzi it from the power of hekdesh. You give it as a gift to someone. You sell it to someone. You are doing an din of gezel. That's the shinui. That's the shinui which is motzi lechulin. A totally different shinui. A totally different form of shinui which is motzi lechulin. It's a different type of a shinui. What will those who hold like Rashi in terms of the Mishnah, what will they do with the Tosefta? So that's what bothered Tosfos. So this will end for today. That's what bothered Tosfos. If we look over there in Tosfos in Me'ila, he was bothered, Tema. The Tanya b'Tosefta, Baka b'Kardom shel Hekdesh, u'Bachaveru b'Kabo, u'Bachaveru b'Kabo, Kulam Ma'alu. Why should it be Kulam Ma'alu? According to our understanding, we have over here a Kul HaKodesh, Yitzilu Ulan. Why should we say Kulam Ma'alu? If the first person used it, he depreciated it. The value lowered. It's Yotze Lechulin. How do we deal with this Tosefta? So Mefaresh, Tosus gives two answers. The Hosam B'mai Askinan, Kegon Va'achar Shebaka, Hechaziro. The Masha Hechaziro, Harehu Shel Hekdesh, Ki'ilu Lo Ma'alu. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mefaresh, the Hosam B'gizborim Askinan, the la'olam lo yatzu lechulin b'shum me'ila ad shiyotzienu mirishuso. What is Tosfos over here saying? What is Tosfos over here saying? Tosfos was bothered. I'm learning the Mishnah like Rashi. The Mishnah says that you're only going to have ein moel achar moel ela behema ukli shareis bilvad. A kardom is not a behema. A kardom is not a klisharis. A kardom, it should be that the moment that I get hanoa, the moment that I'm using it, the moment it goes down in value, it should be yotze lechulin. Either Tosefta says that one person can use it, another person can use it, a third person can use it, a fourth person can use it, and all of them are moel. So this answers, hacha mayaskin gon she'achar she'boka hechziro. Demashe hechziro, Harehu shel hekdesh ki ilu lo ma'alo. For in a Yitzchak mefaresh, the hasan begizbarim askinan, the la'olam layatzu lechulin b'shum me'ilo ad shiyotzeno mirishuso. This is not the Rambam, right? According to the Rambam, any time that there is a me'ilas hano'ah and no me'ilas hotza'ah, then it remains kadosh. Here we're saying, no, that we're going to have situations of me'ilas hano'ah, we're going to have situations of me'ilas hano'ah where it's going to be yotzei l'chulin, like Rashi said. We're going to have situations of me'ilas hano'ah, it's going to be yotzei l'chulin, but not always. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Let's say the first answer. First answer is, if I were to take it and use it, and then take it the next day and use it, and the next day and use it, then that would be yotzei lechulin. But if I take it and use it, and then I give it to then someone else takes it and uses it, and another person takes it and uses it, and another person takes it and uses it, then it's not yotzei lechulin. What's the difference between these two cases? In all of them I have a depreciation. And all of them I have a me'ilas hano'ah. Anyway, it's not Rashi, because according to Rashi, the depreciation should be motzi lechulin. According to the Rambam, in other words, there should be no difference whether I am using it for a month, 2 months, or 3 months, or I'm giving it to someone else. I'm using it today, someone else tomorrow, someone else the third day. What's the difference between these two cases? What's Tosis saying? Yes?
Isn't the first answer you give it back?
The first answer is I use it, right? In other words, the first answer is that if, let's say, there is this axe on the table and it has on it a big sign Hekdesh, and I take it and then I bring it back here, right? And then someone else takes it and he brings it back here, and a third person takes it and brings it back here, then yesh moel achama, we're all going to be moel. Then that's not considered to be the yotzei lehekdesh. But if I take it and I use it, and I don't bring it back here, right? I leave it in my garage, and then I use it a week later, and again I use it a week later. Then in that situation, it's yotzei lechulin. What's the difference between these cases? Yes.
First of all, I understood that the same person could come back every day and do it. It doesn't say somebody else did it. It says that the Nashua has zero. And then, has zero.
Okay, fine.
He corrected it by bringing it back. So it goes back to, it was like a tikkun of the chilul. There's no more, as if the chilul didn't exist.
A tikkun of the chilul? that's very hard to attack a chilul if you were a mechalel. Yes?
Gives it back to Hekdesh,
and but
now
he used
Hekdesh.
It.
Okay, so but now there's a value of Hekdesh for $1,099. So if someone was uses a proof of an object of Hekdesh of $1,099, he's Moel.
Again, if I use it once and I knocked it down to $1,099, so it depends. If I put it in my garage, then it's going to be Yotzei Lechulin. If I'm going to put it back, it's not going to be Yotzei Lechulin. Why?
Now I rededicate something back to Hekdesh worth $1,099.
Am I rededicating it back to Hekdesh, or what basically am I saying?
I never
meant to take it in the first place. Right? Now, the question over here is, one could ask a general question. We have a principle, Shol Shol Midas is a Gazlan. The Shol Shol Midas means that if I were in the base Medrash, I see your pen. I use it once, and then I put it back in its place. Or, I take your pen, I use it once, and I put it in my pocket. Not because I think it's mine, I know it's yours. I'm just borrowing it for a while. So what Tosus over here seems to imply is that as long as I only use it once and put it back, that's not a shalosh shalom midas. I shouldn't have done it, but that's not a gazlan. A gazlan is only if I put it in my pocket. Namely, that the use over here, the Tosus is saying that we have to modify what Rashi says. It's not the fact that it goes down in value. That's not the pegam. What is the pegam according to Tosus? Not the fact that it goes down in value, because then every time someone takes it, it goes down in value. Every time someone takes it, it goes down in value. But what? Even according to Rashi, even according to this chat on the Mishnah, what do I require? I require some form of gezel. I don't require necessarily the gezel of transferring the property totally, but I require a level of gezel in which I would have a status of a gazlan. And if I'm going to return it all the time, maybe I don't have the status of a gazlan. Or, what the second teretz of Tosfos, maybe the gizbar doesn't have the status of a guy. Okay, we'll start with this Bli Neder on Yom Revi'i, and then we'll continue into the world, and we'll finish our Sugya, and Bli Neder will give you my makamas also for the next Sugya. Okay, Yom Revi'i at Museum at 10:30, not at 9.